This morning we're going to read a series of devotions obtained from the website D365. The D365 website is produced by Passport Inc., which launched this website in response to the attacks of September 11th. The primary goal of this website is to provide inspirational and relevant reflections in Scripture for young people. Passport is a joint effort of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Episcopal Church, and the Presbyterian Mission Agency. While these devotions are written especially for students and seek to provide reflections on themes that impact their faith journey, we believe that their messages can be helpful to everyone. We hope that you will find at least one or two of these devotions impacting your faith journey.
A reading from Mark, chapter 4, 30-32. He continued, "What's a good image for God's kingdom? What parable can I use to explain it? Consider a mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But when it's planted, it grows to become the largest of all vegetable plants. It produces such large branches that birds in the sky are able to nest in its shade." Reflections by Dave McNeely. Do you ever feel like your best is never good enough? Not terrible, but just not enough? The mustard seed feels your pain. Despite popular imagination, the mustard seed does not blossom into a redwood-sized tree. Instead, it grows the largest of all vegetable plants. That's like saying he's the fourth best basketball player whose name begins with the letter H, or she is the best singing voice of the entire science class. Thanks. As it turns out, birds don't need redwood trees, and God doesn't need the best of the best. As it turns out, a good image for God's kingdom is something small, something easy to overlook, something on the border of insignificant. But it's the little things where God's kingdom takes root. Little things like a smile, a word of kindness, the faith of God that can work the smallest gifts we have to give. Let us pray. God, sometimes I doubt my significance and feel so small. Help me trust that you are able to use me powerfully, no matter how small or insignificant I feel. Give me courage today to act in small ways with great love. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah 60, 4-6. Lift up your eyes and look all around. They are all gathered. They have come to you. Your sons will come from far away, and your daughters on caregivers' hips. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will tremble and open wide, because the sea's abundance will be turned over to you. The nation's wealth will come to you. Countless camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah. They will come from Sheba carrying gold and incense, proclaiming the Lord's praises. Reflections from Samantha Haycock. You are surrounded by ever-widening circles of people who are present in your life. These are people who love you. They know the hard work that you are undertaking and are proud of you. They celebrate your joys and mourn with you in your sorrow. Your relationship with these people helps you to grow in generosity of spirit. Adjust your gaze for a moment and consider these circles of love, this gift that has been given to you. We often get so focused on what is right in front of us that we forget to lift up our eyes and pay attention to the blessings in our lives. Each of us has a life filled with people, places, and things that are tangible forms of God's love. Let us pray. God of abundance, barrier of bounty, draw my attention to the overflowing of gifts from above. Remind me that each person and each moment is an opportunity to receive your generosity with a trembling and open heart. Through your beloved child, Jesus Christ. Amen.
A reading from the 1st of John 5, 3-5. God's commandments are not difficult, because everyone who is born from God defeats the world. And this is the victory that has defeated the world, our faith. Who defeats the world? And isn't it the one who believes that Jesus is God's Son? Reflections from Jane Nesmith. A high school friend and I went sailing on a lake with his father. The boat was small, and the strong breeze moved it across the water. "Do you want to try?" my friend's father asked me. "Sure," I said, and I moved so that I could control the tiller and the sail. But sailing the boat was harder than I thought. The sail flapped and flailed, wrenching my arm until my friend's father showed me how to hold the sail so that the wind could catch it and move the boat along. That's what it's like with God's commandments. They often seem difficult. I struggle and flail as I attempt to live a new life and love others. I need to remember to align myself with God's will. Remember that I am born of God, God's very child. Only then will those commandments become like the wind in my sails, moving me onward. Let us pray. Loving God, the wind in my sails, when I struggle to obey your commandments, remind me that I am your own dear child. With that knowledge, may I align myself so that I can do your will in this world. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah 43, 1 through 2. But now says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel. Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you won't be scorched with, and flame won't burn you. Reflections by Amy Hanegar. We know the power of water and fire. These two fundamental elements have the power to sustain life and also to take life. They are also powerful metaphors as we think about the challenges we face in life. Sometimes when we're overwhelmed, we feel like we are drowning. And sometimes when our families deal with stress and conflict, we feel like our homes are on fire. Likewise, the words of Isaiah 43:2 can be taken literally or figuratively. They are equally powerful either way. God has promised to be with you and protect you whatever comes. So if angry words feel like fire, remember that you won't be burned. And if demands pressing in from all sides make you feel like you are drowning, remember that the river will not sweep you away. The Lord is with you and will protect you, whatever may come. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, when I pass through the waters, you will be with me. When I walk through the fire, I won't be burned. You are my shield and my protection, my loving creator. Help me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
A reading from Jeremiah 23, 3-4. I myself will gather the few remaining sheep from all the countries where I have driven them. I will bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will place over them shepherds who will care for them. They will no longer be afraid or dread harm, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Reflections by Ed Stallworth. The world is suffering. Therefore, we have work to do. But why us? Because we are the hands and feet of Christ to all people, all of us, regardless of race, religion, creed, country of origin, socioeconomic background, legal status, gender, or sexual orientation. We can be the shepherds God speaks about in Jeremiah, who will lead others from the darkness of despair into the light of hope. We are the leaders who defend the cause of poor and relieve the pain of the suffering. We are the barrier breakers who will proclaim grace has no borders, love has no boundaries, and justice has no walls. Why us? Because God feeds the hungry with our hands, runs to the hurting with our feet, and defends the helpless with our bodies, while speaking the truth to power with our voices. We are the continuing movement Jesus started. Therefore, let's get to work. You are the answer to the prayers of the hungry, lonely, bullied, oppressed, and hurting. What will you do today, not tomorrow or someday, to be hands and feet of God in your world? Let us pray. Lord, inspire me to do the work that ushers in the kingdom of God, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
A reading from John 6:24-27. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I assure you that you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the food you wanted. Don't work for the food that doesn't last, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the human one will give you. God the Father has confirmed him as his agent to give life." Reflections from Joshua Hayes. Do you have a favorite restaurant, one that you return to again and again? Think about your favorite meal there. Now imagine that you could return as often as you like, free of charge. Friends have camped overnight to win a year's worth of meals. Imagine dining on the house for life. That's what the crowd following Jesus is seeking. A day earlier, Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The crowd is convinced they found their meal ticket, and they're willing to cross a lake to follow Jesus. When they find him, Jesus promptly diagnoses their motives. "You are looking for me because you ate all the food you wanted." He then gently redirects their desire towards the food that endures for eternal life. Jesus wants to be more than a buffet. Physical food is vital, as Jesus affirmed by feeding them the day before, but Jesus wants to offer them so much more. What requests are you bringing to God that might hide how much more God wants to provide? Let us pray. Gracious Provider, thank you that you care about my physical needs, but thank you even more that your care doesn't stop there. Help me to trust you for my needs of the body and spirit, my daily bread, and the food that endures for eternal life. Amen.
A reading from 2 Corinthians 4:15. All these things are for your benefit. As grace increases to benefit more and more people, it will cause gratitude to increase, which results in God's glory. Reflections from Chris Cherry. The greatest lesson to learn in life seem to be those that take the most work and ask for the most pain. A good coach knows that to make someone better, you have to push them to keep reaching for what's next, whether that's in sports, academics, or in life in general. It feels preachy to say these moments of pain are for your benefit, but it can be true. When Paul says, "All these things are for your benefit," he's referring to the moments when life makes it hard to have faith. Paul knows the best way for us to truly recognize grace in our lives is for our faith to be pushed, and, like a good coach, Paul knows that sometimes we'll have to run, sweat, and maybe even bleed for it. Our faith keeps us going. Faith is both amazing and frustrating. Faith is what invites questions and what keeps us going. What step can you take today? Let us pray. Lord, I often wish faith was easy, even though I know it's not. Help me to continue to get back up when I've been knocked down. Help me to grow and to trust. Amen.
A reading from James 3:13-16. Are any of you wise and understanding? Show that your actions are good with a humble lifestyle that comes from wisdom. However, if any of you have bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your heart, then stop bragging and living in ways that deny the truth. That is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Instead, it is from the earth, natural and demonic. Wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there is disorder in everything that is evil. Reflections by Rob Sheik. What is wisdom? How do we learn to be wise in our words and actions? We often associate becoming wise or growing in wisdom with the successes of our lives. We encounter an obstacle, we endeavor to overcome that obstacle, and when we achieve success, we have grown from the experience, and can then rely upon that wisdom the next time we experience yet another obstacle in our path. But what happens when we fail? What happens when our carefully thought out plans are interrupted by life? I found that I have grown in wisdom through both my successes and through my failures. As the Apostle James reminds us, wisdom and understanding come from a humble life rooted in prayer and lived in community. For it is our community that supports us and loves us as we walk with God. Even through our failures, God draws us into a closer and deeper relationship where we sense and perceive more clearly God's will for each of us as God's beloved children. Let us pray. God of wisdom, interrupt my plans today and break into my life in unsuspecting ways. Surround me with your love and mercy so that I might radiate and share that love with others in my community. Amen.
A reading from Micah 6:6-8. With what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? Should I come before him with entirely burned offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit? He has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires from you: to do justice embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. Reflections by Kate Lloyd. Sometimes it can feel like knowing how to live out a life in faith is a giant mystery. Will this decision please God? Can I do this thing and still be Christian? How do I know if I'm growing in my faith? How do I make a difference? And then we read passages like Micah 6-8, where the people of God are asking their versions of the same question. What does God want from us? And thankfully, we're given an answer. God wants us to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with God. Yes, easier said than done, but it's not a mystery. Now the question is not, what does God want me to do? But instead, where? Where is God calling me to step up and out to live a life of justice, faithful love, and discipleship? May we have eyes to see and ears to hear where those places and situations may be this week. Let us pray. Lord, your summons echo true when you call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. Holy God, when I feel like I don't know how the best to follow you, remind me to live out a life of your justice, faithful love, and humble discipleship. Give me boldness through your grace to step out, to serve you, and to love others. Amen.
Reading from 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. I was given a thorn in my body because of the outstanding revelations I've received so that I wouldn't be conceited. It's a messenger from Satan sent to torment me so that I wouldn't be conceited. I pleaded with the Lord 3 times for it to leave me alone. He said to me, my grace is enough for you because power is made perfect in weakness. So I gladly spend my time bragging about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can rest on me. Reflections from Daniel Potter. We live in a world that celebrates strength. We praise great athletic accomplishments or strong world speakers. We honor those with the highest achievements. Jesus' life and the life of many Jesus' servants show another way to be strong. Our scripture says, power is made perfect in weakness. Think of folks like Mother Teresa or Gandhi. Their physical bodies were seen as weak, a frail nun or a man that has fasted away. Yet these two had great inner strength, and so did Jesus. You and I probably aren't called to be the next Gandhi or Mother Teresa, or even the next great athlete. We are called instead to admit that we might not be what the world calls strong. We find strength in our faith and power in the grace of God revealed in Jesus. It's hard to admit we aren't so strong. When we do, we begin to rely on something outside of ourselves, the God who created all that there will ever be. Let that be enough for us today. Remember, God's strength is enough. God's peace is enough. God's love is enough. God's grace is enough. You are enough. Let us pray. God, it's hard to admit my weakness can make me feel unimportant or insignificant. Your grace gives me strength when I feel weak. So today, I rely on your grace to be enough. Amen.
A reading from John 6:8-9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, a youth here has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that for a crowd like this? Reflections by Timothy Peebles. Andrew has journeyed with Christ for some time, yet it seems he still lacks the faith needed to understand the power of God. I imagine this young person standing eagerly ready for help. However, without hesitating, Andrew dismisses the gift the youth has before him. Somewhere, a long time ago, in a land far away, I once read, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. As a dear friend once said, it's no wonder that children get Bible stories so much more easily than adults. When we forsake the awe we had in the stories as children, we forsake the power and possibility of God empowering us today. May we be present and prepared so that all can be suppliers of fish and loaves, and may we never use our power to silence the youth of today, for through them we are reminded that what we already have is enough for the miraculous work God is doing right now. Let us pray. Lord, May I see your miraculous work in all people, young and old. May I not stand in the way of your plans, but be an agent who works alongside you, bringing the fish and the loaves to a hungry world. Amen.
A reading from Psalm 126, 4 through 6. Lord, change our circumstances for the better. Like dry streams in the desert waste. Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts carrying bales of grain. Reflections by Michelle Terry. There's an enormous amount of pain in the world. Maybe right now there's an enormous amount of pain in your life. Why God allows suffering in the world is one of the great questions in life, and there are no easy answers. Still, God does provide hope. This passage is a prayer for all who are suffering. God does not promise we will not experience difficulty, but that evil, sin, and pain never have the final word. Death does not have the final word. Tears will turn to joy. When has this been true in your life? When has God taken a time of sorrow and turned it into a time of joy? Write it down. And when you're going through a difficult time, remind yourself of God's faithfulness by reading it over. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for all the times you have changed my circumstances for the better. For all those suffering now, let their tears turn to joy. But be with all who need hope, and help me carry that hope into the world. Amen.